Today is March 21st, 2019. My name is Avi Oppenheimer, and I'm interviewing Chris Riegel. Is that right?
That's right.
In Huntington, West Virginia, for my first year seminar class at Marshall University. Our FYS class has been focusing on the themes of critical thinking, the power and value of well-crafted questions, storytelling, and the stories we tell in response to those well-crafted questions. Frank Sesno's book, Ask More, has served as inspiration for this interview. This interview will be focused on the theme of work. Chris Riegel, thank you for being interviewed.
Thanks for having me.
So, first let me start with, what do you do as your job?
Product development, engineering really, research and design, circuit board layout, market analysis, really everything needed for a small hardware startup here in West Virginia.
Yeah. All right. How long have you been in your current position?
This role was a spinoff of another company that we have over in South Point, Ohio. I think it's been about 3 years in this specific role.
Okay. So my second question is, do you like your position with where you are right now?
It's very challenging. I like it some days, and other days are very demanding. There's a lot of competition in the market, and so trying to stay ahead of that can be really rewarding, and but other times a lot of effort. But on the average, yeah, I'm very happy with it.
Nice. So with being here, what is your typical like day-to-day of your job? What's it like?
I think the only consistent theme is that it's tackling new challenges every day. We have a new product coming to market, and for example, the case that the electronics had to be in had to be watertight, and we submerged them in water and left them in water overnight, and there was some water that got in, so we had to figure out what was allowing the water to ingress. The other day we got new manufacturing equipment, so it was setting up a new production assembly line and getting staff over the learning curve associated with those new tools. Each day is different. The only consistent theme is really solving new and different engineering challenges.
Right, yeah. And then with those challenges, there's probably some problems that you probably face along the way.
Absolutely. Every day is a new set of challenges. I mean, you can only succeed through persistent trials and errors and learning along the way and honing what you're doing to be successful.
Yeah. Which also leads into my next question, which is in terms of a career, what made you want to do this?
When I was going to college, I wanted to know how microprocessors worked at the lowest fundamental levels. And so originally, not being well educated in anything associated with that, I thought computer science was the right approach, because microprocessor is obviously a central part, no pun intended, of the computer there. But when I was actually in the line where I had to declare my major at the University of Kentucky, I was looking through the curricula for electrical engineering, and while I was in the line, I actually jumped ship into the EE department. So it was just a profound sense of curiosity about how things worked at the very lowest levels of operation.
So how has your job or your career, how has it affected your life, like your family's life, and how do you try to combine the two?
My family is rather driven. My father was an entrepreneur, and so I've always I've just always had an insatiable curiosity about how things work, and always had a desire to go out on my own and learn a lot more than what was required, you know, college was great for learning fundamentals from, you know, like a book perspective, but, you know, they don't teach you hands-on, like, you know, how to work a soldering iron or how to actually make products. So just the desire to learn how all of these things could come together. You talked about, like, working in the family stuff. I think sharing that and having, you know, with your children and having them be a part of learning these things and participating. We always get our kids science kits and kits tailored towards electronics, trying to steer their interests in the directions that, you know, in the kind of curricula and, like, you know, subjects that we like. So I think it's, you know, it's really about being present and about the time you spend. And kids are very malleable, getting excited about anything. They just feed off of that excitement, and having something that you can share is really the most important thing.
Right, yeah, because that's pretty much what matters most, like being with your kids, but also having to deal with your job, trying to, like, have that balance, you know.
Absolutely, yeah, and getting excited about, like, my kids are really excited about Minecraft, and so playing with them and building with them and, you know, Lego and different toys like that are about making things and building with the hands and working with your kids like you would work with a coworker as much as you can is really important for developing that kind of rapport with your children.
Yeah, that's good. Like, just being able to have that sort of relationship, just to where you both have the same bonds and where it just kind of works out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So my next one is, what is your favorite aspect of your work? Like, how is that meaningful?
It's original design. It's solving new problems. It's listening to customers who have hurdles that they're trying to overcome and trying to come up with new ways to enable them to go to a higher level. It's looking at competitors in the market and seeing what they're doing and what they're where they're trying to be in the market. And it's all a giant jigsaw puzzle, and there are a lot of moving parts, a lot of gears turning all at the same time. So it's exciting in that aspect. There's also a lot of unknown, because, you know, any competitor to come out with a new product at any point in time and really change how the marketplace looks at any point in time. So it's exciting from that perspective.
That's good. So what is a mistake that you've made, and how did you try to learn from it?
I make mistakes all the time. I probably make thousands of mistakes every single day. I think mistakes are a positive thing and not really a negative thing. It's learning from them. Every time we have a new product, we have to go through probably 10 different iterations before we have something that's market ready. One example was the leaking case that I was telling you about. That was due to a very, very small imperfection in the plastic tooling that is used to manufacture those cases. It's very easy to repair that once you identify the root cause, but the figuring out where the leak was coming from due to this very, very small material imperfection, that one was easily solved with some silicone adhesive put in that area. But there are a million of those situations on a daily basis, and they're all different, and they're all novel, they're all new. They take a different aspect of your background to solve.
Right, yeah. So what has been one of your biggest obstacles? Like, how did you try and overcome with it in your career or even in your specific job?
Obstacle. Let me think. When I worked at the Boeing company, there was kind of a status quo system set in place that you had to be in a certain role for a certain number of years before you were really eligible for. It was, I would say, more about seniority and less about merit, although merit was obviously an important factor, but the expectation was that you would sit in a specific role for maybe a decade before you're really eligible to move on. However, at that point in time, it was closer to when Boeing had acquired McDonnell Douglas, and a lot of these situations were more driven by the McDonnell Douglas way of doing business. However, I was applying for other jobs, and since Boeing is a global company, my new manager ended up being out of one of the groups in Seattle. So, you know, to the easiest way out of that that area of seniority driven leadership was pretty easy to overcome, just hiring into a different group that was managed out of Seattle, where things were much more merit driven rather than seniority.
So what has your occupation, in terms of your occupation, like, how has it changed since you've been in it, and how do you think it will change in the future, or do you think it will?
How has my occupation changed? My occupation is really dynamic. At a small company, you might be called upon to do something very different than what you've been doing. I do electronic design, but I'll also have to work on CAD design for enclosures. It's constantly changing and evolving, and I'm constantly learning things that were not anything related to what I went to school for. We have a product that can help drivers know the weight on their vehicle, and so I had to refresh myself on the chemistry equations for ideal gases and figuring out how differences in temperature affect pressure calculations. So it's always changing. I think the only thing that can be said with certainty is that it will continue to change and evolve and require a higher level of mastery in general terms rather than very specific knowledge about one specific area of expertise.
All right. So for our FIS class, so specifically a first year seminar, we've been focused on critical thinking. So what is an example of critical thinking in your line of work or in your life?
I just took a personality assessment the other day, like a Myers-Briggs test, and it said that I identify as a logician. So everything that I do is geared towards logic, and I have a very skeptical mind. I have a very evidence-driven focus to everything that I do. Whenever I get reports from our support team and they need help analyzing things, I'm always trying to help them understand the logical questions that I have to have answered before I can do any kind of investigative work. You know, if we have a specific customer, I need to know if they had a problem, when was the problem, who was it that had the problem, what vehicle were they driving when they had the problem, all of these things so that I can go and look at specific instances. I feel a lot of the people on the team are looking for general solutions when there is no, there's not necessarily a systemic issue at any point in time. It really takes a methodical look at each individual issue one at a time in a very logical and evidence-based approach to solve the majority of the problems that we encounter.
All right. So my next question is actually for someone that's wanting to get into the computer science field, what kind of advice would you give?
It's very deep. I had a professor who used to say that computer science has very little to do with computers, and he came from, you know, he was much older, right? He was more of the Alan Turing era, and for him, it was about the Turing test and the Enigma machine and that kind of mindset of computers, where they really didn't have the machines, the computer machines that we have available today. So it kind of depends on your definition of what really is computer science. Do you need a computer to do computer science? Turing didn't. He was able to do all of the experiments almost in his mind, although he developed machines of tremendous ingenuity. But that's kind of like almost an aside. So, and there's so many facets to computer science now. I mean, you have machine learning, artificial intelligence, computer vision. I think, you know, you have to really get exposure to a lot of these different issues. Often that doesn't happen only in coursework. So I think it takes that hunger to go out on your own and see what are the breaking frontiers for computer vision and graphics and graphics processing, and that leads into advanced mathematics involving quaternions. It's just an infinite bunny hole that you can go down to very complex things. And I think you have to have that excitement if you're, but at the end of the day, if it's just something that you want to do as a career, I mean, you can make a lot of money doing programming, but that's a different kind of goal set than somebody who is just in it purely out of hunger for knowledge, I think.
Okay. So my final question before we end with this interview is, what would you like to add that I haven't asked?
I think I've covered most of the stuff that I wanted to. I think it's about, you know, the hunger is the core thing. You have to find something that is very exciting to you. That way, it's not really work. It's really a game. It's something you enjoy. It's something that makes you stay focused. And if you're one of those people that's constantly interested in learning more, I think, you know, this is a fantastic time to be alive, because there's just so much depth to the bunny hole where you can go down as far as you want.
Well, on that note, thank you for wanting to be interviewed, for coming out and wanting to do this. This is Chris Riegel with Blue Ink Technology.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.